विष्णु बताया कृष्ण प्रस्ताव भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नाम नमस्ते सरस्वत देवी गौर वाण प्रचार विशेष शून्यवाद पाश्चात देश स्थापना। थैंक यू एवरी वन फॉर कमिंग। सो टुडे वी विल बी कवरिंग द सेकेंड कैंटो थर्ड चैप्टर 1-12 वर्सेस। लास्ट वीक वी कवर्ड टिल द एंड ऑफ द सेकेंड चैप्टर ऑफ द सेकेंड कैंटो। सो फ्रॉम नेक्स्ट टाइम वी शुड स्टार्ट ऑन टाइम। This is all based on the teachings of Srila Prabhupada. A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So the chapter is called Pure Devotional Service, The Change in Heart. The specific section that I will be covering today has this outline. We have a description of various desires that people have and then which demigods to approach. We will talk about the difference between worshipping demigods and the Supreme Lord, and also outline the futility or the uselessness of worship of demigods, evidence of how worshipping demigods is useless. Then there is outline of goal of life and who to worship to get perfection in life, and how ordinary people can change their worldview. So ordinary people means the general people in this world. So that is the outline that has been discussed by Srila Prabhupada in his commentary to the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Verses 1 through 12. Shri Shuka Uvacha Evam Etan Nigaditam Prastavan Yad Bhavan Mama Drinam Yan Mriyamananam Manusheshu Manishinam. Sri Sukhdev Goswami said, Maharaj Parikshit, as you have inquired from me as to the duty of intelligent man who is on the threshold of death, so I have answered you. So this is the Vedic etiquette. When somebody asks a question, you glorify the questioner. So it is not sufficient to say, good question. That is the Western way of saying, good question. So here Srila Sukhdev Goswami says, how to even glorify the questioner? As you have inquired from me as to the duty of intelligent man, they are saying, duty, intelligent man, who is on threshold of death. These are the three key points. Duty of man, of an intelligent man, not an ordinary man, and who is on the threshold of death. So, he is, you know, basically complimenting the questioner. And then he is saying, now I am answering you, so I have answered you. So, the key points from the purport, it is said that Lord Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, prepared the Vedic literatures in the incarnation of Vyasadeva for reading by the intelligent class of men in a human society which is almost totally forgetful of genuine relationship with Krishna, relation with Krishna. So elsewhere, I think last class or the class before, Prabhupada defines who is a human. So somebody who has started the inquiry, after all the Vedic knowledge is done, then he inquires, what is my duty? Humanity begins at that point. So until that point, we are two-legged animals. That's why we stress this point in DYS. But as teachers, if we don't follow, we are also in the same category. So we have to be careful. So he says, a class of men in human society which is almost totally forgetful of genuine relationship with Krishna. Even such an intelligent class of men may be forgetful in their relationship with the Lord. See, even such an intelligent class who has gone through Vedic knowledge can be forgetful of the Lord. That's why we have to do Nityam Bhagavata Sevaye. The whole Bhakti Yoga process is therefore, see, Prabhupada uses therefore, means all of the points above, therefore, the revival of a lost relation. So, if suppose your son goes away, your daughter or son goes away, after 18 years you see them, what is your emotion? For 18 years, what is your feeling? Yeah, you have to be missing. Are you missing Krishna? So, we have to revive that lost relation. Oh, father, I have missed you for so many years. I am 45, right? 45 years I have missed you. I should be crying like that. But are we crying like that? No. So therefore we have to use the Vedic process to revive our lost relation. This revival is only possible in human form of life. Look at how logical Prabhupada is. When we talk of all these philosophers like Marx or Dante or, you know, Sigmund Freud, they get lot of credit in the world. They use illogical statements. Here Prabhupada says, this revival is only possible in human form of life, how he connects everything, which is obtained only after evolutionary cycle of 8.4 million species of life. So the next verse we will not recite it's very big.
but we'll just jump directly to the essence. So the essence is, when we desire certain things, we should worship certain things, certain higher beings, not things, but higher beings. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada covers, suppose you want to be absorbed in the impersonal Brahmajyoti effulgence, we should worship the master of the Vedas, Lord Brahma, or Brihaspati, the learned priest. Who is Brihaspati?
Priest of the
Devatas. Devatas, yeah. So whenever they have a Dharma Sandeham, they will just go and ask Brihaspati, what is my duty? So if somebody wants powerful sex, then they should worship the heavenly king Indra. If somebody wants good kids, great progenitors called Prajapatis. So Prajapati is their duty, as we have seen, Daksha Prajapati. Their duty is to increase the population. Like, you know, four Kumaras, Brahma says, go have kids. They say, sorry, Dad, we don't want to have kids. Then he asks somebody else, Narada, Narada, sorry, Dad, I cannot have. So Prajapatis, their duty is to increase the population for the pleasure of the Lord. Otherwise, if everybody says, I want to be a renunciate, then how will the population grow? That is also a duty of these, you know, appointed people. So if you want good fortune, Durga Devi, but be mindful, huh? Durga Devi will give and she will take away. In my own family, one of our relatives, they used to be very great Durga worshippers. So they had movie theaters, they had number of trucks, and then for some time, like 20 years, they were very opulent. Then slowly the truck driver started stealing from the trucks. People in the movie theater, they would not give the money to the proprietor and things like that. Sometimes movies will not run very well. So they practically lost everything. Now they don't have the trucks business, they don't have the movie business. So this happens. Durga Devi, very, very dangerous. She gives and she takes. So if you want to be very powerful, you worship fire. And if you are after money, you worship Vasus. But unfortunately, most people don't even know who the Vasus are to worship them. A lot of people say, oh, why are you Hare Krishna's only saying worship Krishna, Krishna? We can worship anybody. And you ask them who to worship? Ganesha, Lakshmi, Durga,
Mahesha.
That's it. Shiva. They run out of the list. So they don't even know who to worship. First of all, they run out of the list. So if you want to be a great hero, like Balram Leela Prabhu, then we worship the Rudra incarnations of Lord Shiva. And if you want large stock of grains, you worship Aditi. Who is Aditi?
Mother of
Devatas. If you want native things, you can worship the mother of all the Danavas. But of course, she is also pretty important actually, because she is wife of Kashyapa. So if you want to attain the heavenly planets, you worship sons of Aditi. Because they are there in those heavenly planets. They have departments. In heavenly planets, they are sectors. Everybody has their own sector. So if you worship that, you'll go to that section. And then Kine Punya Martha Lokam Vishanti, you'll come back down. So if you want to attain the heavenly planets, the sons of Aditi, if you want worldly kingdom, Vishwadeva, I don't even know who this gentleman is. So worldly kingdom means if you want to rule part of Bellevue, like that, mayor of Bellevue or something like that, no? So you want to be popular with general mass of population, there is a demigod called Sandhya, you worship him.
Sadhya
or Sandhya? Sadhya, sorry. Sadhya.
I'm waiting for Ganesha.
If you want long span of life, you pray to Ashwini Kumaras. Where are the Ashwini Kumaras? Two sessions ago we studied. Which part of the body are the Ashwini Kumaras? I don't remember. I thought it was Udara, right? In this part, the Ashwini Kumaras are there.
They control this part or they are inside that?
They don't control anything. They are in the Vishwarupa of the Lord. They are in the Udara part, roughly. If I remember the lecture from 2 weeks ago, I think we have all forgotten. Mukunda Datta Prabhu said, after the class, 95% of the things, they have wings and they fly away.
95?
You are missing my question.
I thought it was more than that. That's
what it is. 13%.
So if you want to be... have a strong built body, like, you know, somebody who does muscle work and all that, you have to worship earth. If you want stability in your post, you worship the horizon where earth and the, you know, sky are there, the horizon. You know what a horizon is? During sunset you see that boundary, that's called a horizon. So that's, you see all the great kings during evening, they are worshipping that horizon. Do you observe that?
It is illusory, right? It's moving, it's not real. So stability is also not real. Is it like that?
Look, lot of things are unreal in this world. Material happiness and material distress is unreal actually. But we give too much weight to it. To be beautiful, you have to worship the residents of Gandharva planet. Where is the Gandharva planet? So, Bhur, Bhuvar, Swaha. That's the boundary of that. You see the Gandharvas according to the picture that you posted on the wall there. It is there actually, it is written there. And where the Rakshasas are there. Rakshasas are, and the ghosts are slightly above the earthly realm.
It's interesting.
It's interesting. No, Rakshasas are more powerful. Radha Krishna Prabhu said they are definitely more powerful than you and me. So, in physically, you know, in terms of that. Okay. So, if you want a good wife, who do you pray to?
Uma.
Uma is slightly different. If you want a good marital relation and a chaste wife. But if you want a beautiful wife, you pray to Urvashi. Of course, I don't want any one of you to be praying. We are all married people.
You can pray to Uma, right?
You can pray to Uma. That's okay. You can pray to Uma as a servant of Shiva, who is a servant of Vishnu. Okay, so I think we are getting deviated now. If you want domination over others, you pray to Lord Brahma, the head of the universe. And if you want fame, you worship the supreme personality of Godhead, Vishnu. If you want good bank balance, you worship demigod Varuna. And so we used to think Varuna is the demigod of water. But if you want good bank balance, means money stability. Having money is one thing, but if you want it to be reserved, then you pray to Varuna. To be great learned man, Lord Shiva, and good marital relation, chaste wife, then you pray to Uma Devi, wife of Lord Shiva. So, after telling all this, Prabhupada says, all these are a waste of time. There are different modes of worship for different persons desiring success in particular subjects. Ravana was made very powerful by worshipping Lord Shiva, and he used to offer severed heads to plead Lord Shiva. Now what kind of devotion is that? He became so powerful by grace of Lord Shiva that all demigods were afraid of him, until he at last challenged the personality of Godhead Sri Ramachandra and thus ruined himself. So how many times have we seen people challenging the Supreme Lord?
All the time.
Hiranyakashipu says, I will defeat you and your Hari. And then he goes and punches at the pillar, and the Narasimha form comes out. So whenever somebody, Lord waits, has a lot of patience. But once you challenge, then he takes up the challenge and finishes you. That is what he does. So in other words, all such persons who aspire after gaining some of the material objects of enjoyment are gross materialistic persons, or on the whole less intelligent, as confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 7:20. So scholars, what is 7:20? Very good. I cannot even say that words very well. So don't go after sex or progeny or fortune or money or power or grains or heavenly planets or worldly kingdom or span of life or built body or post, because Prabhupada is saying they are all people who are less intelligent, you know, people who are less intelligent ask for those things. It is said that those who are bereft of all good sense, so Prabhupada is very strong here, means if you have no sense, you are nonsense, then you ask for these things. Or those whose intelligence is withdrawn by deluding energy of Maya, means you have intelligence due to your past karma, but Maya Devi takes it away, making you totally stubborn. We see such stubborn people at our workplace every day, right? Very, very stubborn people, because their intelligence is taken away by Maya. Aspire to achieve all sorts of material enjoyment in life by pleasing various devatas or by advancing in material civilization under the heading of scientific progress. So science magazine, then you have various research magazines. So all that is people who want material enjoyment in life. The real problem of life of the material world is to solve question of Janma Mrityu Jara Vyadi. No one wants to change his birthright. No one wants to meet death. No one wants to be old or invalid, and nobody wants diseases. But these problems are solved neither by the grace of any devata nor by the so-called advancement of material science. So less intelligent persons have been described as devoid of all good sense. So Sukhdev Goswami says human form of life is rare and valuable, and even more rarer are persons who are conscious of the value of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada concludes, death is inevitable for everyone. Whether somebody is intelligent or foolish, they will still die. So that is the ultimate thing. So if you don't want to meet Krishna in the temple, you will meet him as death. So there is a beautiful picture of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all of them ecstatically dancing. Especially notable is Nityananda Prabhu's move. It's like that. No, he's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu or Nityananda Prabhu?
The red,
he's in the ecstatic mood.
That's true.
So Gadadhar Pandit is the one who is in ecstasy there dancing. Parikshit Maharaj has been addressed by Goswami as Manisi, or man of highly developed mind, because at the time of death he left all material enjoyment and completely surrendered unto the lotus feet of the Lord by hearing his messages from the right person. So again, you know, Prabhupada is giving why Sri Sukhdev Goswami is congratulating Parikshit Maharaj on that question. So he is giving commentary on that. Such aspirations, so what are these aspirations? Material enjoyment are something like intoxication of the degraded human society. So when we say no intoxication, this is also an intoxication. All the things that we have pride over, you know, if you have $10 more than the neighbor, all of a sudden we are very proud. Oh, look, you know, I am something better than somebody else. And this happens across the strata. If you see laborers who are picking up some things, like, you know, as seen in the Himalayas, the laborers who are picking up small things, if you pick bigger load than the neighbor, you are proud. And you may say, who cares? You are in a corner of Himalayas picking up some. No, that fellow is. So that is also a form of intoxication.
So, pauper is a proud of his penny. Even a pauper is proud of his penny.
Yeah. Even if you have penny, that's it. His pride starts. So let's read.
Dharmartha uttama shlokam tantu tanvan pitran yajet. रक्षा कामा पुण्य जनान ओजस कामो मरुद्गुणान.
One should worship Lord Vishnu or his devotee for spiritual advancement in knowledge, and for protection of heredity and advancement of a dynasty, one should worship various demigods. So, you know, Sukhdev Goswami is continuing. So there was a huge list given, but more list is coming now. So we will not worry about that, right? Because we want to please only the Supreme Lord. The path of religion entails making progress on path of spiritual advancement, ultimately reviving eternal relationship with Lord Vishnu and his impersonal effulgence, his localized Paramatma, and ultimately his personal feature. So here, what are the three things that are covered? Brahmeti Paramatmeti Bhagavan iti sabjate, the three different forms. The absolute truth is known through three forms: Brahman, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So Prabhupada sometimes he takes the verses and then puts them in the purport to make a point. Such different classes of worshippers of different demigods may ultimately reach the respective planets of those demigods within the universe. But he who reaches the spiritual planets in Brahmajyoti achieves the highest perfection. So here there is a very important statement. Normally we think of Brahmajyoti as the light and spiritual planets beyond. But the Vaikuntha planets, according to this statement, are scattered all across Brahmajyoti. The statement says that the spiritual planets in the Brahmajyoti, it doesn't say beyond the Brahmajyoti. So spiritual planets are also scattered in the Brahmajyoti and beyond too. So both ways.
Rajya kamo manundevan nitam dva vicharan yajet kamo kamo yajet somam akama purusham param.
So who is akama?
Devotee.
devoid of any material desire. Yeah. So not devoid of desires, we still have desires, devoid of any material desire. So akama purusham param, that such a person is the ultimate. So one who desires domination over a kingdom or an empire should worship the Manus. One who desires victory over an enemy should worship the demons. You know this? Once you want victory over the enemies, then you put a picture of Dawood Ibrahim or something. One who desires sense gratification should worship the moon. That's why all love songs are related to the moon. But one who desires nothing of material enjoyment should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That should be the goal of the people in this room. Nothing of material enjoyment. So this is why Prabhupada says, and he quotes the previous acharyas, the flowery words of the Vedas. So what they do, they'll tempt you with all these things, and somewhere hidden it will be there, 4%, 96% will be all this. Somewhere it will say, but you don't want all this, surrender to the Supreme Lord, who will take you back to the spiritual world. That knowledge will be hidden, it will be coded. So you have to decode it. So without Prabhupada, will you be able to decode this? No. Immediately I will start, you know, if I were unmarried, I will start worshipping Urvashi. Arre, achha patni chahiye mujhe, aisa gaake. This is what we'll do. But if you hear Prabhupada, then you will know. I'm not in that platform yet. Okay. The Lord has proclaimed that the materialists who desire material enjoyment and thus seek the favor of different demigods are not in control of their senses. So what does the Bhagavad Gita say? Svitajnani. So people whose jnana is stolen. So they are not in control of their senses. And so give themselves to nonsense. No sense or nonsense. That's why, you know, Harulash Prabhu keeps telling in the class, oh, that person is a nonsense. So this nonsense term is used by Prabhupada a lot. So let's read that again. Who desire material enjoyment and thus seek favor of different devatas, as mentioned above, are not in control of their senses. So they may look very pious, but according to Srimad Bhagavatam, they are not in control of their senses. The leaders, now we are talking about leaders of these nonsensical people. So how is building a case? First, people don't have control over their senses. They are less intelligent. And now you have leaders of these nonsensical people are still more nonsensical because they preach openly and foolishly that one can worship any form of demigod and get the same result. So there was one person who came to the temple. This was 2 years ago. And he was telling, yeah, I mean, I know him. He stays in the Saras Crossing area. What difference does it make? It is like a bouquet of rose. You pick whatever you want and you make a bouquet. In the same way, spirituality also, you pick whatever you want and it is sufficient. Like that, there are so many people like that. So because their senses have been stolen by the deluding energy of Maya. All Prabhupada's words. So if you travel, you buy a travel ticket. So Srila Prabhupada gives the example. No one can reach Bombay from Delhi by purchasing a ticket for Baroda. Usually we give here example, right? If you want to go to New York, don't buy a ticket to Denver. But that's from an Indian context. One should worship the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead. And this worshipping process is called devotional service. So if somebody says, I am a devotee of Ganesha, is that a correct statement? No. Oh. Devotional service is only for Krishna. You are a fan of Ganesha, that's all you can say.
There are
devotees. Or Ganesha is my idol, like a matni idol. Ganesha is my idol. You can only say that. Devotional service means, sorry, you were saying?
I'm just saying they are devotees of their own desires.
Devotee of their own
desires.
Ganesha
to fulfill.
Yeah, exactly, as a proxy. So that's a very important thing. And worshipping process is called devotional service. Worshipping anybody else is not devotional service. You're doing some what you like, manmani, whatever it comes to your mind. Pure devotional service means service to the Lord without any tinge of material desires, including desire for fruitive activity and empiric speculation. What are those in Sanskrit? Fruitive activity, karma, empiric speculation, jnana. Jnana karma dana vrittam anukulena krishnanu prilanam bhakti ruttam. So, Prabhupada uses all shastra in every line that he puts. So you cannot escape from any shastra in his times. For fulfillment of material desires, one may worship Supreme Lord, but the result of such worship is different. generally Lord does not fulfill anyone's material desire for sense enjoyment. So did you find this actually when you ask for something material, you usually don't get it? You may pray like, I want to get promoted, you don't get that, but the Lord will give you something different. If you have seen that, at least I have seen that. Ultimately come to point of not desiring material enjoyment. So by not giving such benedictions, the Lord forces you to ultimately come to a point of not desiring material enjoyment. What happens otherwise, you will become like Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu says, I want this. Brahma says, Tadastu. You get that. So where is the question of surrendering to the Lord? You are getting what you want, however foolish it may be. So therefore the Lord does not give you those things. That is the last statement. He avoids such benedictions to worshipper of the Lord, for they ultimately come to the point of desiring not material enjoyment. The conclusion is that one must minimize the desires for material enjoyment. Did Prabhupada say, don't do material enjoyment? No, because if you don't do material enjoyment, you will become hard-hearted. So our material enjoyment is service of the Lord. So we enjoy along with the Lord in kirtan or in whatever we do. For this one should worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is described here as Param or anything beyond material. So what was the verse? Akama Purusham Param. So you have akama for material desires. For who? And then you have desires for Purusham Param, the ultimate. Sripada Shankaracharya has also stated, Narayana Paro Vyakta, the Supreme Lord is beyond the material encirclement. You know why Prabhupada quotes Sripada Shankaracharya so many times? So that we can teach the Mayavadis, or at least have an arguing point. Look, our Guru also said, Shankaracharya, Narayana Paro Vyakta. No, don't you believe in Shankaracharya? So you have a counterpoint against them. That's why he quotes, to my understanding. Most famous verse, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udarani tirena bhakti yogena yajatya purusham param. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he be full of all material desire, without any material desire, or desiring liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. And how is that worship? Tivrena. Tivrena means intense. You cannot slack off in devotional service. It has to be intense. So that's why festival after festival, divas after divas, 8 divas batches, can you believe that?
70 CM. Who doesn't do small things? I'm not doing way
out of you are doing. Akama is one who has no material desire. Desireless means not to be inert like stone. So, you know, this is the first question device people ask. Oh, so Prabhuji, should we not watch movies? Should not we do anything? Should not even eat properly anymore? No, that does not mean. It means not be inert like a stone, but be conscious of actual one's position and thus desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord. You can desire satisfaction in so many ways. From each devata, somebody will give you good wife, somebody will give you good daughter, somebody will give you something, money or post. But desire satisfaction only from the Supreme Lord and for the Supreme Lord. Because He will give you certain things. Srila Jiva Goswami explained this desirelessness, Bhajaniya Parama Purusha Sukha Matra Sva Sukhatvam. In his, what is this Sandarbha called? Yeah, so I don't know in which one he said that. Anyway. In the mundane field, outlook of doing good to others in form of society, community, family, country or humanity is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling. So I was sitting, and normally I don't go out to lunch. So after eating lunch, I went with a bunch of people to the cafeteria. So they were sitting and everybody was saying, what is my passion? One person said, this corporate life is so difficult. Of course, you will not quit. Huh? But I would like to coach young kids in tennis. The other person said, I would like to do good in society. And one other person said something else. Then I said, I'm already doing it. We have a thing called Northwest Share where you can do free food. Would you like to join me? Nobody really wanted to join. It's all armchair
philosophers.
So after stomach is full, after lunchtime, ye baat aayenge mujhse. Nobody, there's no practicality to it. So, but what is this feeling? This is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity, actually that person said, Ganesh Palvi already told me about Northwest Shear. Dimri.
Oh yeah.
So, it's like that. So, where are we getting this feeling? This is a partial manifestation of the same original feeling in which a pure living entity feels happiness by the happiness of the Supreme Lord. So in our purified state, when the Lord is happy, we are happy. So that is not an artificial feeling, that's a true feeling. But this so-called, you know, I would like to Mera Bharat Mahan, God bless America. Why should only God bless America? What about Somalia and Namibia? Should they not be blessed?
Then this is bless others, that is their thing.
Yeah. No, this is like their order. Hey God, you bless my country. That is the order to God actually. God bless America. So anyway, so all these feelings, where do they come from? It comes from that original feeling where we are happy when the Lord is happy. But now we have disconnected with the Lord, that thread is cut. Therefore, we are finding these other things. But even these are superficial, I know, because I keep testing people. I say, oh, would you like to do this? No, only talk. Nobody wants to do anything. So why do we do this? Because we are influenced by the Kama spirit. Kama. Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajo, Bhava, Samudbhava. And elsewhere in 262, Yayato Vishyam Pumsha, Sangasthesh Pajayate, Sangat Sanjayate, Kama, Kama, Krodha, Bijayate. So Kama gives the seed of Krodha. Krodhodbhavati sammoha, sammoha vadati smriti vibhramaha, smriti bhamsat buddhinasho, buddhinasha pranashyati. Means everything goes to dogs. Prabhupada uses a kinder language there, that you fall into material pool. But basically you came back to where you started. So, influenced by Kama spirit, Arjuna declines to fight. But being a pure devotee, agreed to fight on the instruction of the Lord. Because he came to his senses, or at least superficially for our education, it looks like he lost his sense and he came back to his sense. And he realized that satisfaction of the Lord at the cost of his own satisfaction was his prime duty. So he had some satisfaction by not fighting. He said, I will satisfy the Lord rather than my own satisfaction, Hare Krishna. And then that is his prime duty. So what is Sarva Kama? So you may think, I want to become one with the Lord, being merged in the Brahma Jyoti. All these are various elevated forms of Sarva Kama. At a low level, you know, I want this, I want that, some physical things. At a higher level, you want something mental. At an even higher level, you want something which looks like spiritual. Like I want to be a part of Brahma Jyoti. That's also Kama. Or to be free from material miseries is also Kama. So in Prahlad Maharaj, you know, the Lord asks, do you want anything? You know, Prahlad, he says, what do I want? Whether I was happy or unhappy, I was always chanting your name, therefore I never felt any of the happiness or unhappiness. So I don't want anything. Then he says, but deep within your heart there is one desire. And he says, yes, yes. Because of me my father was killed, can you grant him liberation? And then the Lord turns. Of course the Lord says, you don't even have to ask for it. By virtue of you being a devotee, your whole chain is liberated. Kama spirit or desire for one's satisfaction. That is only Kama. Kama means my satisfaction. That is Kama. Krishna's satisfaction is Akama. Where the spirit of Akama is fully exhibited in the spiritual world. So in spiritual world, I have not been there, so I don't know. But according to Prabhupada, the spiritual world, Akama characteristic is fully exhibited. Here we are training to exhibit that, you know, occasionally. Prabhuji, will you wash dishes? Oh, maybe Prabhu, okay, I'll wash dishes. Okay. A little bit we are exhibiting that. There we'll exhibit it probably more. Don't know about the details. Udharadi means one who has a broader outlook. Udhara Svabhava, they say. Udhara, broad. Even with the desire for material enjoyment or for liberation. So you should not have those two desires. Desire for material enjoyment or for liberation. And you should take to the worship of, we should take to the worship of the Lord directly. And here comes the final words. Whether Akama or Sakama or Moksha Kama, should watch worship the Lord with great expedience. Expedience means with great effort, diligence, all of those things put together. This implies that Bhakti Yoga may be perfectly administered without any mixture of karma and jnana. So here is the logical conclusion that he has drawn. He said people don't have senses, therefore they get attracted to all these things. They are always seeking for self-satisfaction. Spiritual world, it is always satisfaction for the Lord or the akama tendency. And however, if you are akama, sakama or moksha kama, you can worship the Lord and you should worship the Lord. Therefore, Bhakti Yoga or the process that we are following can be done without karma or jnana. Means you can skip those two steps. So we have to read Prabhupada's lines very carefully. This implies, means you have to go through the last three or four or five verses when he says this implies. An unmixed ray is very forceful and called Tivra. I have never heard this actually, but it looks like in Sanskrit the sun's ray is called Tivra. But it's Tivra more so in Hyderabad than in Seattle. You will feel it physically. So, unmixed bhakti. Unmixed means jnana karma anavritam. So, unmixed bhakti, the yoga of hearing, chanting, etc. may be performed by one and all regardless of the inner motive. So, regardless of what your motive is. Dhruva had the motive of sitting on his father's lap. That was a very gentle motive. But still, Lord said, since you had a material desire, you will rule this world for 36,000 years. What think of us? List, super, you need a supercomputer for our list of desires to compute all those things. Anyway, and here's one other point Prabhupada makes. Yoga of hearing and chanting. So we have Buddhi Yoga, where you are using your intelligence. But this is a yoga of hearing and chanting exclusively. Just hearing and chanting. Which is what Parikshit Maharaj is doing. So regardless of your inner motive, everybody can perform this. That's the key point. Let's read. Etavan eva yajatam iha nishreya sodaya bhagavati achalo bhavo yad bhagavata sangataha. Like in 2003 or 4, Harulas Prabhu said, if there was a newspaper which continuously published the happenings in the spiritual world, it will be a pretty big newspaper. And the key of that newspaper would be Bhagavati Achalo Bhavo. I still remember this statement. We made it in 2004, I think. So all different kinds of worshippers of multi-demigods can attain the highest perfectional benediction, which is spontaneous attraction, unflinchingly fixed upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And how does that happen? Only by the association of a pure devotee of the Lord. So if we became devotees, it was some pure devotee who touched us. Not physically, through his vak shakti. Otherwise, impossible. Impossible. Bhagavati achalo bhavo. How does that Bhagavati achalo bhavo? Achalo bhavo means your bhava is achalo. No chalan. Chanchal means totally wavering. Achalo means fixed, steady. Yad Bhagavata Sangataha. Sangha means you were in association with some Bhagavata. That's how it happened. So we were very fortunate to have received this. Human life is meant for making solution to problems of life. One can never solve such problems by satisfying different devatas, by different modes of worship, or by so-called scientific advancement. Anyhow, Prabhupada adds so-called scientific advancement just to cover the scientists. But scientific advancement is not even in the spiritual realm. It's like a pretty cheap thing. Without the help of God or demigods. So you cannot solve the problems with gods or demigods. Apart from gross materialists who care very little either for God or for demigods, the Vedas recommend worship of different demigods for different benefits. So demigods are neither false or imaginary. The demigods are as factual as we are. You know why people say all demigods are equal? Where is that stemming from? Huh?
They are all jivas. Right?
Okay, that's one point. But there is a deeper point.
Thinking that maybe they don't even believe they
are. Yeah, that's the thing. That's right. The thing. It is a hangover from Mayavad.
Yeah.
So there are these other living entities, to your point. But I am also like them. I am just praying to them so that we are bye-bye kind of thing. Because they don't believe in their real existence or their real position.
Mm.
yeah, as a servitor of the Lord.
Yeah.
It's a Mayavadi exposition. That's why India has been ruined.
Yeah.
That Mayavadam has taken this demigod Naksha. That's why they say you can pray to anybody, and they'll put, you know, Sai Baba at the same level as Shiva, as the same level as Vishnu. Like if you go to a Bothell temple, it looks like very pious, but they are putting all devatas at the same level.
Yeah.
Mahavir, they put Mahavir on the same altar. So there is Ram altar here in Bothell temple.
Yeah.
There is Balaji.
Yeah.
They put Mahavir here.
Yeah.
Mahavir will be like, you know, he'll be shifting very uncomfortably actually. A lot of levels of difference, right? You think about it.
Yeah.
Will you be very comfortable in the presence of Obama with four security guards around you with AK-47s? You'll say, get the hell out of here. I want to go back to Samavish and do my japa. You will not feel comfortable in those positions. In the same way, when they put, that is a hangover from Mayavadam. That is the danger. So when you penetrate deep, right, in DY's class also, when I ask a few questions, immediately comes that they really don't trust in that devata.
Yeah.
They are thinking eventually I will become like them and higher. That is a danger. This is universal actually. In every DY's class I have seen this. There are people with this perception.
Yeah.
Their families are Vaishnava families, but this perception is there because of the ruin of so-called Vedic, I mean the ruin of Vedic knowledge or so-called Hinduism. So you have to watch for this. Whenever people say everybody is equal, it's a Mayavadi hangover.
How do I address them better?
Through love, through gradual tolerance. This is like a Karunika, Subhritam Sarva Bhutanam, like that, no? You have to. That's why does Krishna in 13th chapter, 13th verse through whatever, no? 6 or 7 verses, he talks about these qualities of a devotee.
Yeah. 12th chapter.
Huh?
12th chapter.
13th chapter. No? 12th chapter. Yeah.
Bhakti Yoga.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He describes so that we exhibit that. See, it's not easy to address that. You cannot argue. The fellow will take a hammer and hit you back. Tolerance. This is Vika Karunika. And then love towards every living entity. We don't have that. That's why we are unable to massively transform the society. If you have it, the society will be transformed. Like in one of my DBS class, somebody said, yeah, when people looked at Prabhupada, they changed. So even a common man appreciates that fact. It's also a statement that Radhika Gopinath does, when I look at you, I'm not transforming because I'm not seeing the same qualities in you.
Yeah.
That's also a statement.
Yeah, that's true.
So if we don't have the chapters in the, no, that Krishna gives that complete list. How many qualities are there? Some 50 or 60 odd qualities he mentions. If you don't, and you cannot pretend, your soul is reflecting those qualities.
Yeah.
If you pretend, it won't work.
Purity is the force.
Purity is the force. Books are the basis. Anyway, the demigods are as factual as we are, but they are much more powerful due to their being engaged in the direct service of the Lord. So now Prabhupada makes the final, you know, closure of this topic. The most authentic Vedic literature accepted by great Indian acharyas like Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhava, Vishnu Swami, Nimbarka and Chaitanya, and studied by all important personalities of the world is the Bhagavad Gita, in which the worship of devatas and their respective residential planets are mentioned. Therefore, unless gross materialists or worshippers of temporary demigods come in contact with transcendentists like pure devotee of the Lord, their attempts are simply a waste of energy. So we wasted energy for the first 25 odd years till we touched, came in contact with the devotee, practically speaking. Only by grace of divine personalities, the pure devotees of the Lord, can one achieve pure devotion, which is the highest perfection of human life. Only a pure devotee can show the right way of progressive life. Jnanam yad aprati nivritta gur gunormi chakram atma prasada utayatra guneshva sangha kaivalya sammata patastva ata bhakti yoga ko nivrito harikata suratim nakuryat. Transcendental knowledge in relation with the Supreme Lord is the knowledge resulting in the complete suspension of the waves and whirlpools of material modes. Prabhupada writes because he has seen the waves and whirlpools of material modes. Like Anumath Prasak Maharaj was saying, when you look at Prabhupada, you will see the modes coming like this. They bypass Prabhupada like that and then they again go. He never seems touched by anything. He's never touched. Such knowledge is self-satisfying due to its being free from material attachment. Such knowledge is self-satisfying. Why? Because there is no material attachment. So Srimad Bhagavatam is fully self-satisfying. But as long as we have these huge boulders, like Rompad Maharaj was saying once, so you are trying to go in a boat and you put the anchor and you're going and nothing's moving because you still have that anchor on the floor. So how will you move? So therefore, even though we are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, unless we let go of our material attachment, we will not make the progress. And being transcendental, it is approved by the authorities. So what is transcendental? Such knowledge, which is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then a rhetorical question, who could fail to be attracted? Pure devotees are always engaged in service of the Lord. Pure devotees exchange feelings of ecstasy between themselves and relish transcendental bliss. This transcendental bliss is experienced even in the stage of devotional practice, sadhana, avastha. So we also see that, right? Occasionally, for maybe 30 seconds or 1 minute, we feel totally ecstatic. But then we again lose it. If properly undertaken under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. In the mature stage, the developed transcendental feeling culminates in realization of the particular relationship with the Lord. So what is it called? Swarupa Siddhi. So you will realize your particular relationship in the mature stage. Thus, Bhakti Yoga, being the only means of God relationship, realization is called Kaivalya. So the Mayavadis also use this term, Kaivalya Padam. For them, Kaivalya is different than our definition of Kaivalya. So just because somebody uses Kaivalya doesn't mean it's the same meaning that they are using. I have seen Mayavadis use the term Kaivalya. Natural consequences of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge. Natural consequence of hearing such Harikatha is attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from all mundane topics. So how many people have stopped watching movies? Right? You all stopped watching movies? Yeah. How did that happen?
Facebook has 5 minute glimpses or something.
Yeah. Which means you have the tail end of the attachment. Mm. Right? So natural consequence of hearing Harikatha is you will have detachment towards mundane topics. So when people are talking politics in office, you'll immediately walk away. For a devotee, mundane activities become unattractive. And in mature state, devotee becomes uninterested even in his own body. What to speak of bodily relatives? Rishabhdev, he would just walk. At some point, he didn't have clothes. He didn't want anybody to come near him because they will again pull him down to... what is it? Just normal talk, day to day. What is it called? Village talk?
Gramikatha.
So he don't want. So what he took his own stool and he appeared on his body. But his stool was fragrant. People would still get attracted to him.
Rishabhdev.
So you will not even be interested in your own body if we come to the attainment of transcendental knowledge, which causes detachment from mundane topics. One is not agitated by waves of material modes. Like that. This state of affairs is described herein as Prati Nivritta Gunormi. What is Nivritta? Pravritta Marg and Nivritta Marg. What is Nivritta?
Renunciation.
This is Prati Nivritta. And it is possible by Atma Prasada or complete self-satisfaction. So, Yayatma Suprasidati. And if you look at last chapter, 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nasochati Nakangshati samasarveshu bhuteshu mad bhakti labate param. So once you have that bhakti, you become brahma bhuta prasannatma. Na sochati na kankshati, you don't desire anything. So that is the state Prabhupada is describing. So practical application, I know I'm probably over time, and I'll so Srivastakur said that the ideal grihastha and Gaudiya Sampradaya is the 1-2-3 formula. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Srivas, how will you maintain your family? He said, no, I will just go on chanting the holy name. He said, but you have to feed your family. No. If three times the Lord does not bring food as I chant his holy name, I will tie a rope to pot on one end and the other end I will tie to my neck and I will jump in the Ganges. And because I have made a vow like that, I have never gone hungry. Lord has always provided food for me. So we are talking about Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Srivas Adi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. So that is the high standard he had. It's the 1-2-3 formula. So when Lord Chaitanya heard this, he began to roar in ecstatic love. He said, even if goddess of fortune becomes poverty stricken, there will be food in your home. He gave that blessing. So Lord will give us that benediction if we have that full faith in him. Because we don't have, he is not reciprocating. Ananya chintavanto mam ye jana parayutta sakti. What is the complete yoga kshema vahamyam. I always forget that middle line, yoga kshema vahamyam. So Lord will provide, you know. So his Sudarshan Chakra is there to provide devotees in all directions. So when there was kirtan going on, roaring kirtan in his house, in one room his son passed away. All the ladies were crying. So he comes to his wife and his other ladies and says, don't cry. It will disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. His own son died, and that is his level of elevation. So the modern civilization has defects because we are governed by cats and dogs. Therefore, there is no peace and prosperity. You may have some money, but that's not prosperity. Prosperity is broader than that. Suchinam Shunatam Gehe Yoga Brashta. No, Radha Krishna Prabhu quotes this a lot. One who this went into
timer.
Okay. And I'm done. References. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki jai.